Tonight is Monday night, December 10th. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moed Katan, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. Having engaged in quite a bit of Agadata the last couple of weeks, the Gemara now resumes, at least for a couple of minutes, for tonight's Shir, on a very serious halachic issue. We'll read the Gemara again, which focuses on this particular issue. And the Gemara, on the top of the page, had stated a halacha that we've seen quite frequently, illustrated by numerous cases, that a Talmid shenido lichvodo niduyav nidui. That a Talmid who puts somebody into cherem due to the fact that he was slighted by that individual, see, he did it lichvodo, to protect his honor and dignity, the nidui, the cherem, takes effect. And that people have to stay away from that individual, despite the fact that he was not a Rebbe, he's not a member of the Sanhedrin, but he's a Talmud. I'm sure he's a fine Talmud Chacham, but a Talmud nonetheless. Disanya, we learned in a Brisa, Menudo l'Rav, Menudo l'Talmud. That if somebody who is been put into Cheirim for a Rav, for the Rebbe himself, Menudo l'Talmud. So the Talmud also has to engage in observing that Nidui. However, Menudo l'Talmud, Eino Menudo l'Rav. But if he's put into Cheirim simply by the Talmud, that does not mean that his Rebbe is bound by that particular statement. We've seen this already before. I'm not going to elaborate. But it's leading us to the next case. Ask the Gemara, Limai, why exactly did this Talmud put somebody into Cheirim? E b'mili d'shmaya, if it is on account of the fact that he noticed that this person was violating something towards heaven. In other words, he's violating a law of the Torah or rabbinic law in which it's directed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Under those circumstances, ein chachma ve'ein tevuna ve'ein eitzel l'negen Hashem. Under those circumstances, you don't do anything to protect the dignity of a human being if the concern is protecting the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if somebody did something wrong, he violated something in the Torah, and therefore the Talmud put him into Cheirim, what do you mean the Rebbe doesn't have to honor it? When it comes to defend the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is nothing that stands in its way. And I mentioned to you the halacha, that if somebody is found, he discovers, oh my God, I'm wearing shatnez. So the Gemara in Bracha says he has to disrobe, even in a public thoroughfare. So you'll say, what do you mean? There's human dignity involved? When it comes to protecting the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein eitzah v'ein tvuna neged Hashem. This is not something that we take into consideration. Therefore, why would the Rebbe not be called upon to participate in this nidui? Answers the Gemara, Elolav l'chvod atzmo. Why did he put this person into nidui, into cherem? Not because he did anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather he did something for which he was slighted. So we saw 20 stories. It's a little difficult, actually, to understand why is the Gemara repeating this when the Gemara already stated and gave all of those cases where the woman was sitting prostrated in the street, you know, her feet were sticking out and the guy had to walk around her. There were so many of those cases which proved that there is such a thing of nidui by a Talmud, lichvodo. I don't really have an answer for that. But I know perhaps the Gemara is just setting up the next line, which is our focus for discussion tonight. Omar Rab Yosef, Tzurba me Rabbanan, a student of amongst the rabbis, a student, somebody's just a Talmud Chacham, Ovid Dina Linafshe Bimilsa Dipsikole. Ovid Dina Linafshe can seize the halacha and make a decision concerning something that would normally require a court case, and handle the case himself. Ovid Inish, a person can make or do Dina Linafshe. Dina Linafshe can decide upon the halacha for himself. For himself. So, let's first take a look at Rashi, and then we're going to open up and discuss this halacha of Ovid Inish Dina Linafshe. Take a look. It's Rashi's on the top of the page. Ovid Inish Dina Linafshe. De Omar Le At Michayavt Li Hachi Vahachi. I walk over to our gabbai, and I tell him, hey buddy, you owe me $1,000. You owe me $1,000. And I am 100% certain that you owe me $1,000. And I know for a fact you never paid me back. So under those circumstances, says Rashi, what I just said, dipsikole shivadai hulo velo safek. I am 1,000% convinced you owe me $1,000. There is no doubt in my mind. So I have a right to say, guilty as charged. Even though you might say, what are you talking about? So before we read this Gemara, and this would come as a shock. Anybody who reads this Gemara is a shock. Where would you expect that this case be handled? What would be the venue for such a case? A bezdin, a court. I walk over, because I happen to be a little pisha Talmud Chacham, and I walk over to you and I say, you owe me $1,000. Owe you $1,000. And according to this Gemara, you have to pay me. If you wouldn't have to pay me, there would be nothing accomplished by saying, Ovid Inish Dina Linafshe. But the halacha is, you have to listen to me. So, we are going to try to understand what is the basis, the origin of this particular halacha, what are the parameters of Ovid Inish Dina Linafshe. And then, try to understand, why is the Gemara mentioning it in this case? What does this have to do with our Gemara? We're not talking about court cases here. What are we talking about? We're talking about nidui, cheirim. So the Ravid is going to try to hit the nail on the head and tell you why it's here in Mayit Kata. Because this is not the primary source for this sugya. So you can put away your Mayit Katans for about an hour, maybe a little less. And we're going to see the primary source of this particular sugya. There will be two primary sources, and each one will lead us to a different conclusion as to what the origin of this particular halacha is. So the first source is a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, and tonight all of our pages are numbered after Saquon Barkley, after the game that he had. So it's 26A, 26B, 26C, because in a half he had 170 yards rushing. And all those statistics, that the Giants have had four runs of more than 50 yards, only four of them, since 2005. Since, that's 13 years. Barkley this year has four himself. Has four runs of more than 50 yards.
Hello.
So we're dealing with one of the Gedolim, the buddy Gedolim of the Giants. When they get into the playoffs, and I know all the things that have to happen for the Giants to get into the playoffs, we'll talk about that a little later, he will be a shining star. Anyhow.
It was a good draft pick.
It was an excellent draft pick. Excellent draft pick. Says the Gemara. I bracketed the Gemara for you. Tahahu Gargusa de Beitre. There was a well owned by two people in partnership. The Chol Yoma Hevedoli Chad Minayu. Every single day, one of them would draw water from that well. Asa Chad, one day one of them came, Kadoli Biyoma Dulo Dile. He was drawing water from the well on the day which was not scheduled to be his. Amale, so the other partner said to him, Yoma didihu, today is my day. Lo ashkachbe, he paid no attention to the fact that the rightful drawer said something to him, today is my day. He just ignored him completely. Shokal panda demara michya. So what the guy whose rightful day was, he took a pail, the pail that the guy was using to draw water, and he hit him over the head. Amalei meya pande bepanda lemichya. You deserve 100 of these. Claps on the head. 100 of them. Why? Afilu lamandi amar lo avid dina lenafshe. Here again, what would you have expected should be done under those circumstances? You bring him to Beis Din. You have a complaint, a financial complaint against somebody. You don't take the law into your own hands. You adjudicate the case in Beis Din, civil court, someplace. Not to take the law in your own hand, but for our perspective in Beis Din. Says the Gemara, no. Afilu lemanda amar lo ovid inish dina lenafshei. Even according to the opinion that says that under ordinary circumstances you cannot take the law into your own hands, lo ovid inish dina nafshei, because the Gemara is going to quote a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. However, b'makom pseida ovid inish dina lenafshei. In a case of immediate financial loss, which may not be able to be, you may not be able to recover that loss, under those circumstances, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Why might this case reflect immediate potential financial loss? Because who knows how much water, maybe the water, the well is going to dry up. And if I can't draw my fair share of water, I can take you to Beis Din all to, so you're going to have to pay me a couple of dollars. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to have the water that I need. So under those circumstances, you are permitted to take the law into your own hand. De'itbar, we learned. Rav Yehuda Amar, lo avid inish dina lenafshei. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a person is not permitted to take the law into his own hand. Rav Nachman Amar, ovid inish dina lenafshei. Rav Nachman says, yes, you are permitted to take the law into your own hand. Comments the Gemara. Heicha de'iko pseida, where there is immediate financial loss, kuli alma lo pligi, the ovid inish dina lenafshei. Everybody is of the opinion that you can take the law into your own hand. Ki pligi, where is the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yehuda? Heicha deleka pseida, where there is no financial loss. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, lo avid dine nafshei. The cave on deleka pseida, since there is no immediate financial loss, lazel kame dina. Go bring your case to a judge. Rav Nachman Amar, Ovid Inish Dino Linafshei. Rav Nachman says, you can go ahead and do what? Take the law into your own hand. Why? Kevan Dibidin Ovid, since you are taking it based on the law, Lo Torah, we don't want to make you go through the effort of going to Beis Din. Yes?
Up to what point can someone take the law into his own hands? I mean, that sounds pretty severe from the example here where he hit him over the head.
Yes.
So doesn't that supersede the financial damage? He might kill him.
Okay, he's not allowed to kill him. He is not allowed to kill him. And in fact, we're going to see a statement of the Nemuka Yosef a little later, in which they make a comparison between this case and an official of Beis Din who is assigned to make sure that the decision of the court has been fully implemented. Beis Din says, you know, we go to court, you win, I lose, and I tell you, what are you going to do? I'm not paying. Okay, so what does Beis Din do? They send somebody to knock me over a head. Not necessarily pans, but they take a whip or whatever it is. So the Gemara compares the two situations, the Nemuka Yosef. And that's going to lead us to a very serious point. So how far it goes? It apparently goes very far. That you can administer physical harm to the individual until he or she relents and pays you what that person owes. It goes pretty far. I don't have an exact boundary, but it goes pretty far. Again, it's all shocking news. Yeah.
So Agmar Himoikot makes a point that it's a Sora Midrabanan.
Oh, that's going to be excellent question. That's going to be an excellent question, which we show you and I'm going to ask. We're going to see it. Our Gemara says that who is awarded this right to do so? A scholar. Tzurba Meirabana asks the Gemara, what's the great Chiddush? They ask the Rishonim. This Gemara, in which we just read, doesn't say anything that these two people who shared the well, one of them was a Talmud scholar. Two people. So what do I need this Gemara for? We will see. There will be a Vilna Gaon who will say something. There will be other Rishonim who will say something. It's a very good question. I was waiting for that question. So you just, because I was going to sleep until everybody asked that question. So, yeah.
And the rationale for the physical coercion is like we have in other cases where it's what he really wants to do, but his Yetzer Hara or something is holding him back.
And yeah, right, that's right exactly, like yes. That. It's the very same reason why they explain why you're allowed, why Beis Din is allowed to hit somebody in order to coerce him to give a get. Yeah. A get has to be l'ratzono. There's no such thing as get kfiya. But yet, there is Gret Kfiya. We know this. Beis Din has a right to do so. How? Because they're going to knock the Yetzer Hara out of him. And now, of course, he's just going to say, yeah, I want to do it. That's what he really wanted to do. Right? Satma still does that today. Still does it. Yeah. I told you what they say when they knock on the door. Oh. Your wife wants to know if she's going to be a Grusha or an Almana. That's what she's waiting on. Wants to know if she's a Grusha or an Almana. Yeah. Fine. Now,
make an offer you can't refuse.
This Gemara, and another sugya. Go to page 26b for a minute. This is a pasuk in the Chumash at the end of Parshas Kisetze. The Torah writes in pasuk Yudalef, "Ki yonatzu anoshim yachdov ish ve'achiv." Two people are in the midst of a fight. "V'karva eshes ha'echad lahatzil es isha." The wife of one of them, probably the one who is getting beaten up, comes to save her husband, Miyad Makeyu, from the person who is striking him. Vishalcha yada vehechzika bimivusha. She stretches out her hands and she grabs him at his testicles and causes him incredible, perhaps, pain. And does anybody remember what we learn out from this particular episode? Boshes. The halacha of Boshes. When a human being injures another human being, you have to pay five things. Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. So Boshes is learnt out from this particular situation. Now, again, we could ask the simple question on the Chumash. What right does a woman have to strike out at this particular person because her husband's getting beaten up? Call the police and take him to Beis Din. Call up, you know, what do you have a right to do, you know, to embarrass somebody or to hurt somebody? Apparently, the Torah itself, under certain conditions, allows you to take the law into your own hand and say, if my husband, or my wife, in this case it's the husband, is getting beaten up, I have a right to go ahead and to protect him, and to protect him. And in fact, the Gemara records this a block later in Bava Kamma. Go to 26c. And I bracketed the Brisa. Toshma, Gemara cites a Brisa. Vekatsosa es kapa. So the Torah writes in the next pasuk. Excuse, go back to the pasuk for a second. Vikatsosa eskapa. What does that mean? You have to cut off her hand. Katsosa eskapa. Lo sachos einecha. Have no compassion on her whatsoever. So, if you only read these two psukim, it looks like that what? She never... Why are you going to cut her hand off? Why? Because she acted inappropriately. But that's not the way the Gemara is going to interpret this pasuk. It's not the way the Gemara is going to interpret it. Let's read the pasuk. Vikatsosa eskapa mamon. You don't chop her hand off. What do? What? You make her pay. My love, b'she'eino yicholo lahatzil al yedei davar acher. When do we say that what? She...
When do you get punished when she doesn't...
Then it's only no. Right. Would we not say that she gets punished even if what? She had no other way of saving her husband? Says the Gemara, no. She yechola lahatzil al yedei davar acher. It's talking about what? She could have saved her husband without hurting or humiliating him and embarrassing him. Avol eina yechola lahatzil al yedei davar acher, tura. But if what? If she could not have saved her in any other way, then she doesn't have to pay damages or shame to that individual. That individual. Ihachi, if that's the case, adetoni seifa, the end of the pasuk says, v'shilcha yada, she stretches out her hand, v'shilcha es yada. And now what do we say? If she stretches out her hand, and there was another way of what? Coercion, she has to pay, says the Braisa, v'prat l'shliach bezdin. A shliach bezdin, an agent of the court, who strikes somebody in order to enforce the court's decision, under all circumstances, happens to be pater. Even if what? Even if it was efshar lahatzil ayyadei v'ra. Even if they could have enforced it through another way. The Braisa is granting a special exemption for what? For a court. Fine. Now, I'm going to raise a question, and the two sources that we already read will weigh in on one conclusion. Namely, the halacha of da'ovid inish din l'nafshei might be based on the fact that the halacha is granting everybody, when they are 1,000% certain that their case would have been upheld in court, that they are a shliach of Beis Din. It's as if the court had already adjudicated the case, and now the person who was convicted doesn't want to pay. So when the person who is convicted doesn't want to pay, what does Beis Din do? They send its agent to coerce payment. Well, in this case, anybody can become an agent of Beis Din. How? Based on the fact that Rav Nachman now gives you the right of it inish dino l'nafsheh. And since the Gemara is now, in effect, comparing this person to what? To a Shliach Beis Din, perhaps that is the root of the halacha of Ovid and Ishtin Lodanafshem. That when Beis Din grants everybody the right to handle a case where they are absolutely certain that they are going to win, Beis Din grants every one of us the right to handle this case and to do whatever is necessary to execute that decision that would have been executed in Beis Din. So it's a halacha of Beis Din.
Yes, the case where there was no other, as we just said, there's no other way.
Correct, there is no other way.
So that's qualification.
That's the qualification. According to this Gemara, that's the qualification. There is no other way to get it. So in the case of the panda, there was no other way to get it. Because the guy said, I don't care what you say that it's not your day. I have taken my mortar and I'm not giving it back to you. Yeah.
But if the person who's absolutely certain is unfortunately absolutely mistaken, perhaps.
He will be held accountable for that. We'll get to that. If he was wrong and you take him to Beis Din and Beis Din would not have agreed with it, he has to pay retribution, he has to pay for damages, whatever he did. It's that you're absolutely certain, otherwise Beis Din does not grant you permission to act without a Beis Din.
And according to this, to I'm just looking at it lightly, maybe too superficially, that even a Russia...
Okay, let's not talk about a Russia. We're talking about Shomer Torah Mitzvahs.
No, because the concept of two people who are fighting, one is Hakis Reyefa.
They're both Rishayim.
Right. So they, technically, that is.
Yes, even in this case. Yes. Perhaps you might be able to conclude that.
How does Rabbi Yehuda work that? So according to the other opinion,
Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't believe that such a halach exists.
Well, he does in the case where it's irreparable damage.
He didn't say that. That was the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda did not say that. That was the Gemara piping in, Rav Ashi or whoever it is, who said, that's my opinion. You always have to try to separate the Memra of the Amora versus the commentary. We just had that on Shabbos. Rav Shesha said, Achsanoi Chayef Ben Chanukah. It's Rav Zeru who pipes up and says, you know what? I used to give a pruta, now that I'm married. You don't have to. That's not Rav Sheish's statement. Look at it independently. The Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Ovid in Ishtinu Nafshei. And Rav Nachman says, Ovid in Ishtinu Nafshei. And it's often, that the person who says the halacha is absolutely critical. Rav Nachman, the Gemara says all over Shas without fail, Hilchasa ke Rav Nachman bedine. Anything involved in dine mamas, Rav Nachman can argue with anybody. He was considered the greatest expert in dine mamanos in Talmud Bavli's history. Rav Nachman was the greatest dine mamanos expert, and the halach is like Rav Nachman against him, against majority. Often they paskin like him. So he says, Ovid Inish. Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo. The Gemara, whoever that Gemara is, says, we think it makes a difference whether it's Efshar Lahatzil or Efshar Lahatzil.
But you still have to make, I understand Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't say, but how would you formulate that?
What do you mean?
Meaning, so Nachman's saying we're giving this power based on being...
Like a representative of Beis Din.
So according to the person who interprets Rabbi Yehuda that way...
Right.
So I only
Beis Din is only giving you that right where you have what? Where you have no other option.
But the damage is irreparable. You can't get it.
Can't recover it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Okay, but those are the conditions which they established. The whole thing is difficult. But those are the conditions in which they established it. Yeah. So that's what would emerge from these two sources thus far. Then So hold on a second, hold on. Please go to the Nemuka Yosef for a minute, to page 26G. 26G.
The word prat means to include?
Prat?
When it says prat l'shiach,
only in the case, shiach she'ief shalahatzla yedei davarach.
No, it says prat l'shliach beisdin.
Right, shliach beisdin can do on the anything.
No, the word prat literally means...
With the exception of.
With the exception of.
Exception of. Now, take a look at the Nemuki Yosef, the first thing that I bracketed, where the Gemara said that this guy who was stealing the water should have been hit not once, but 100 times. So the Nemuki Yosef adds, Im eino yachol lahatzila yidei davarachem. So the Nemuki Yosef incorporates that statement that it is only if there was no other way to convince the guy to let him draw the water. Elo al yidei haka'a. Only if he hit him. But talking to him was like talking to the wall. Velo b'haka'a achas yaker. And he could not accomplish it, what? With only one shmais? Afilu mea makos. Even if he has to hit him 100 times. Upatur. And you are nonetheless patur for any damages you may have caused to that individual. So now look at the equation, I referenced it briefly, that the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef makes on this Gemara. Umimela shamina. And from this Gemara I can conclude, the Shliach Bezdin namahachi dine. Bahadi deman lo tzayis dina. That the same thing is true for a policeman of Bezdin. What we call in the Torah, shotrim. Right? The Torah says, shoftim v'shotrim. Titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Shoftim are to appoint judges. Shotrim is to appoint an executive branch of government that enforces the law of the Sanhedrin. That they are allowed to hit any person in order to fulfill the will of Bezdin, they can do whatever is necessary in order to accomplish that. In order to accomplish that.
So the immediate hefset is irrelevant then?
Who?
In that case. Well, that's what he's talking. He's talking about the case of the water, right?
No, he was talking about Shliach Bezdin. Right. Not only in any case which Bezdin sends a Shliach, two people went to Bezdin.
Right.
The Pande was with the case of the water. So there was impossible to do anything.
So then the fact that it's the requirement for it to be immediate loss is irrelevant then.
Because you had no right to do it. Unless there was that din of Ovid and Ishtin and Avshe was only granted if you have no other way of recovering the money, the water.
But what about the criteria that it has to be immediate loss? Because that's what we said. That's
what it means. Eino yachola hatzila yidei davarachem.
Right.
He could not have gotten the water.
So then there are two requirements. Number one, that it be immediate loss. And number two, that there's no other way to do it.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
That's just it.
It's immediate loss, and there's no other recovery. Why? Same thing. Because it's Hayalach.
Right. But I thought if there's no other way of recovery, then whether it's immediate loss or not, you can.
If it's not immediate loss, why is there no other way of recovery? Go to Bezdin.
Because the guy doesn't want to go to Bezdin.
So that's not my department. Now Bezdin, so what will Bezdin do? They'll send him a hazmana. Now if he doesn't respond to the hazmana, they'll send him a second one. And when it goes to the third one, then what's Bezdin going to do? Put him in chayrim. That's what's going to happen. So when he walks into shul, the gabbai is going to give a clap. We are not continuing the service until he leaves the shul. Yard side or no yard side? They don't care. Yes?
The basmati grab nachman, you don't need immediate loss.
What?
Nachman,
that is correct. We're going to correct. Rav Nachman said, "I disagree. Even if there is no immediate pseida, we're going to see how Rishonim will formulate it." Correct, 100% correct. Let's just finish the Nemuki Yosef. Umemele shamina l'shliach bezdin nami hachi daini bahadi man on behalf of someone delotzayis dina who doesn't listen to a court. If you are going to say that what I just said is wrong, Mare Mamona, How would we ever grant a right to a person, an ordinary citizen, to do this? Mi alim mishliach de beit dina? Is he better than what? Than a shliach of Beis Din? So the assumption that is made is, even though it doesn't say any place, that a shliach Beis Din is allowed to hit you over the head. Maybe shliach Beis Din means, you know, he should take, maybe if you don't want to do it, he takes you into court, put you in jail, whatever it is. Not that he can hit you over the head. But if a citizen can do this, certainly a shliach Beis Din can do so. And this indicates or gives us inclination to assume that the heter of the citizen who has a right to do it is that he's acting in effect, ipso facto, as a shliach of Beis Din. Beis Din has granted that right to every citizen to act as its agent if the court case would undoubtedly have been resolved in his favor.
So it's as opposed to, like, because he's angry, like, go El Hadam, that's
correct, as opposed. We're going to see there is a possibility of placing it under a different halacha. Nothing to do with, related to Shlichus Beis Din. It might be based on another halacha. We'll get to it in a minute. Let's take a look at the second comment of the Nemuki Yosef. V'had de'avedine l'nafshe, hainu dafka b'mamona de'shchiach be'enei. Ki hacha garbi gargusa. The kaboy mare limishkele ula atsule miyada dehech, the boy lemigzule ula azuke mimone. When does this halacha take effect? Two cases so far. Number one, that the money potential loss is right in front of us. Right in front of us. So if it's just a money case, which I lent to you a month ago, I lent you $1,000 a month ago, and now I come to you in the street and say, hey buddy, you got to pay up, you cannot use Ovid and Ishtin Lenafshe to coerce the borrower to pay. Why not? Because the money, financial loss, is not taking place as we speak. The money I lost when I lent you the money and you decided not to pay me back. But that's not going to change whether I wait till tomorrow or five weeks until I get a court date. That fact is not going to change. Under those circumstances, says the Nemuki Yosef, you are not permitted to touch. Or the person wants to damage something. In this case, he wanted to steal the water. That's going to be irretrievable. That water, if it dries up, that's it. Or if the guy wanted to damage something right now. So if I see that you are going to smash my car, you're taking rocks and throwing my car, I can stop you without, I don't have to call the police, and I just hit you over the head, and that's it. Because that damage is going to take place right now unless I intercede. Certainly you are allowed to do this if I see that what? That you're going to kill me. That if somebody's life is being threatened, under those circumstances, of course you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. But if the money loss is not right here in front of our eyes, Ella afrue kad de kambabay afrue malva mine. It's only that what? The malva, the lender, wants to collect on an outstanding debt. Lesle reshus leme badina lechaveira lenashe. Under those circumstances, you cannot take the law into your own hands. And he proves it from a Mishnah, to Hatanan. Hamalva es chaveiro lo yimashkinenu. If I lent you money and I did not secure collateral at the time of the loan, now I see that you're dilly-dallying, you don't want to pay me, or I notice that things are not going too well with your business and you're not going to be able to pay, so I want to go ahead and seek a piece of collateral. The halacha is, I cannot do so unless I go to Beis Din. Beis Din might give me the authority to seek collateral. But on my own, I can't. Because again, it's not the loss immediately in front of our eyes. And under those circumstances, you cannot do so unless you have immediate financial loss and it's abundantly evident. You can see the financial loss slipping away through your hands.
Does it have to be your financial loss or could it be anybody's financial loss?
It's a good question. It might be anybody's financial loss. I'm not 100% sure. We'll see. Rambam, others, they apply it even to others. We'll see. It's a good question.
And who's he talking about? Who's he explaining now?
He's explaining the halacha of Oven Ishtinli Nafshe.
According to who?
He didn't say. He assumes it's according to Rav Nachman, who says you're allowed to do so.
But Rav Nachman has no conditions, I thought.
That's correct. So but he's putting in conditions. He doesn't believe that it means you can just go over and bash somebody in the head. It's only, where did Rav Nachman say Oved and Ishtin Linafshe? Which case? Which case did we read where Rav Nachman said? It was the case of what? Of the woman.
So how would he differentiate between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yehuda?
Who? Rabbi Yehuda says it never applies.
So he wouldn't agree with the Gemara's characterization of the Machlokes.
That's correct. Good. That's the Namuki Yosef. Now let's take a look at another case, which is 26D, which is a Gemara Bava Kama on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra De'aktim V'osik Chamra L'mivra. Somebody brought his donkey on a boat. Kama De'saliku Inchi B'mivra. Before other people got on the boat. Boi le'at bue. The boat was about to sink. Osa hahu gavra malach, a person who was one of the sailors, malach is a sailor, lechamra, he came to the donkey, dahu gavra, he came to the donkey of that person, vishadya l'nahara v'tava, and he pushed the donkey overboard, and Nebuch the donkey drowned. Obviously, the owner of the donkey was very upset. Where do you have a right to push my donkey overboard? Osa lekame de Rabba. So Rabba said, he came to Rabba and asked, what's the halacha? Patre. So Rabba exempted the sailor of any compensation against the owner of the donkey. Omale Abaye. He's saving his own hide with somebody else's money. And the assumption is that matzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro is chayiv. You have to compensate him. So why did Rabba say that he was pater? Amalei, hi, me'ikara rodev heva. As soon as this donkey got on the boat, he was a rodev. How was he a rodev? Because they knew that what? When you have too much weight on the boat, he's now going to cause the boat to sink. So putting that boat, that donkey on the boat, he's in effect pursuing everyone to kill them. The Omar Rabba, rodev shahaya rodev achav chaveiro lahargo. Somebody was running after someone else with the intention to kill. V'shiber es hakelim. And he broke utensils as he was running after him. Bein shel nirdaf, bein shel koladam. Whether he broke the utensils of the person who he was chasing, or he broke my utensils that happened to be lying around. Patur. Why is he patur? Shaharei mischayev binafsho. Because when he is a rodev, he is chayev misa. And the halacha is kom lebede rabba mine. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's the way it was sung. That famous song, Detroit, wasn't it? That's called by the Supremes. You know, that's how Kumbel Darwin is sung in the yeshivish world. So,
where's that yeshiva?
On 1600 Queen Anne Road, and wherever else I used to teach. Yes.
Well, what is the relevance of this Kumbel the Maragamine to this point?
The point is, he explaining why is he not held accountable for the damages.
No, I understand Kumbel the Maragamine, but why is this relevant to what precedes?
Because Rabba said that the owner of the sailor does not have to compensate the person for the ox. He has a road ape. The ox was a road ape.
But it's not the sailor.
Yeah, but you're not dealing. But nobody here was Chayim Benafsho. At worst, he would have
the owner. Right. The owner. The implication is that the owner of the ox is Mischayev Benafsho. Why? Because he brought on something that would have caused the danger. Now, in this case, one second. In this case, does it give any indication here that this person is acting under the guise of a Shliach Bezdin? Is there any such indication in this case?
No.
So why does our Gemara allow the person, the sailor, to take the law into his own hands? Why? The answer is because it's the halacha that if you are matzil mamon, you're matzil atzmo, b'mamon chaveiro, where what? There's a potential loss to your life. What are you? You are exempt from payment, even though you didn't go to Besdin. That if there is a potential loss of your life, and you cause damage, you are exempt from such damages, even though you didn't ask Besdin. You did it yourself. And this is another halacha. It's called Matzil Atzmo B'Mamon Chaveiro. So Rabba says Matzil Atzmo B'Mamon Chaveiro is Chayiv. But not in this case. Not in this case. You are Potter in this case. Why? Because the Chamra presented a potential danger. And we'll see what, and that's going to be critical based on another case which I will show you, in which it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a potential danger, but you saved yourself with someone else's money, and there you're going to be obligated to pay back. We'll see in a second.
And it's like the other case, you have to act now or else, you know.
What is that?
It's like the other case where you have to act now.
Yeah.
Damages.
Yes, that is true. It is true.
The donkey is the weapon, right? The donkey is like the weapon.
Right.
That, so if you damage somebody, if somebody's a robber,
right,
and using weapons, you're going to have to. He's going to sue. You can sue him for damaging the weapon that you're destroying in the process of saving yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to pay him.
But you don't have to pay, right? But is there a havmina that...
Yeah, I could have had a havmina. You have a right to do it, but pay for it. That's all. It's his money. If the principle is matzil atzmo al yidei mamon chaveiro is chayiv, maybe in this case,
yeah,
if it wasn't a life-threatening situation...
That's incidental.
Well, but
that's where the destruction is incidental to saving yourself. But
it's not incidental. That's what he calls a road aid.
If you're matzil atzmo and you're with a kelim of your friend,
right?
Then, if you're using the kelim, you're using it to save yourself, and in the process, you're
no, that's not the way you're running afterwards,
right?
No, you're chayiv under those circumstances,
right?
Except that if you're chayiv misa, that's the halacha come with the Rambam. But if you were not chayiv misa, the guy's not running after you to kill you; he just wants to hit you, and you. And that's all he wants to do. He's not going to kill you. You can't protect. You can protect yourself with some of his utensils to shield off. But you're going to pay for it because matzel atzmal yidei. I'll show you the case in 1 second. Let me just show you the case. So now take a look at the rock. Yeah. The sailor what?
Not a fellow passenger.
No, he was not. He was on the boat.
Is that significant?
Oh, no, it just happened to have been a story. Any passenger could have done this. But he was the sailor, so he was smart enough to understand what was happening, why the boat was sinking. Take a look now at two Rambams that I want you to see. Go to page 26F for a minute. Now, this Rambam is in Hilchos Chovel Umazik. Chovel Umazik. So the Rambam knows if it's in Hilchos Chovel Umazik, it's a purely financial halacha. It's a financial halacha. And the Rambam writes, Sfina shechishvali hishaver mikoved hamasui, a boat that is about to sink, to break, from the overload of the weight. V'amad echad mehen v'hokel bimasa'a, and anybody went ahead and threw some of the merchandise overboard, patur. Shehamasa sheba kimo rodef achareyam lahorgon. The stuff on the parcels on board are like a rodev about to kill them. U mitzvah rabba asa. He did a great mitzvah. Shehishlich v'hoshi'am. And he helped them. He did a great mitzvah. So the Rambam believes that this is a halacha where you are matzil atzmo mimamun chaveiro. You are now patur. You're patur. Fine. Now the Rambam also quotes the first case. That's on page 26E. And I'm going to ask you a question after I read the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Yesh le'adam le'asod din le'atzmo im yesh biyado koach. A person can what? Can take the law into his own hands if you're what? If you're Hulk Hogan. You have the power to do so. If you're a little squirt, I wouldn't try it. Ukidas ukehalacha hu oseh, and he was doing it in accordance with absolute law. Eino chayev litroach lavo lebezdin. He doesn't have to come to Bezdin. Fa'af alpi. Even though there would not have been any immediate financial loss, ilu nit acher, had he only delayed ubala bezdin and come to bezdin, lefikach im kibel alav baldino vehaviu lebezdin vidarsho umatzo sheasaka alacha, if then the person whose stuff was taken by compulsion, by I compelled him, and now he comes to Bezdin, and Bezdin discovered that I handled it correctly. V'din emes don le'atzmo, ein sosrin is dino. You don't override, you don't punish him by virtue of the fact he took the law into his own hands. Tell me how the Rambam understands the halacha of it in ishdin le'nafshe. Correct. How do I know?
Because
he put it in Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Rambam doesn't put this case in Hilchos Chovel Umazik. He puts this in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And if it's in Hilchos Sanhedrin, it means that it operates through the Mizgeret, through the principle of Shlichut Bezdin. And the Rambam paskins exactly like Rav Nachman.
Not like in the movie Yosef.
That's correct. Even if there is no immediate financial loss, Rav Nachman is to be taken literally. Rav Yehuda, according to the Gemara said that when does Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman argue? Only if there is no pseida. If there is pseida, everybody holds that. So, okay, that's fine. But I pass me like Rav Nachman. Even if there is no immediate pseida, Ovid, Inish, Dine, Linafshe.
It's not really totally fair. I mean, if you're going to equate what he was doing to what a Beis Din would have done at that moment in time, right? That's the point. There's a Beis Din at that moment. So if you follow, like, let's say, evidentiary rules, so if you're going to try to take A from, a property A from Mr. X, that guy has to prove that on him is the proof, right? Most of the Haber Alev Arana, right?
I now have all the proof.
Now this guy took the property back. And now you're going to, let's say, if it ends up a Beis Din is going to take look at it at that moment in time, now the other guy's got to provide the proof to get the property back. It really changes the game. It's an unfair evidentiary rules change.
No, that's not true. They're going to look at it as if he was still the mochsik. The victim was still the mochsik.
So they're going to say they're going to assume that the property still belongs to A, and they're going to use the evidentiary rules like that?
Correct.
So if I take from B because I thought that's my property, and then B takes me to Basie and said that's not fair, I don't think it's really his, and then Basie's going to, who's Basie going to make... put the riot on.
Of course they'll say, unless you have proof, you can't take somebody's property. You have to have either shtar or chazaka. But in the absence of that, they just say, you're not the owner of this property. Because otherwise, all hell will break loose. I'll take your gemara. Prove it's
so
mine.
So B owns the property. So even though someone has the property in the now, it doesn't count as they are most
if
the property.
If he decides to challenge it, that is correct. That is correct. Yes.
So Rambam didn't give license to apply physical force. He's simply saying, I can maybe take the property.
Okay.
HBO, okay. Though, Koach.
Koach. What does he write? Koach.
I can grab the item, but.
I think it means a little more than that. It means a little more than Koach. It means force.
The ability to enforce.
But the ability to enforce, of course. That's right. That's good. Good. That's correct. Yeah. So we've seen two different scenarios whereby somebody says, yeah, somebody says, I am going to take the law into my own hand. So let's just deal quickly with, the question, was raised before, your question concerning, what do I need our Gemara for to say this halacha? If this, we just read several Gemaras, the Gemara never said one word about Psul Ben Rabbana. So it's the grace of Chiddush in our Gemara. So, therefore, there are a couple of suggestions. Suggestion number one is offered by the Raivin. He's cited by the Rush. I should have that here. 26H. It's the last line of that bracketed Siman Yud in the Rush in Bava Kamma. Amar Rabbi Yosei, Tsurba midrabanan avadina lenafshei, bemilsa depsikale. Something that he's 100% certain. Shebaru lo hadin yadin, he's allowed to judge it. Umotzi mi balchovo balkorcho, he's allowed to apply force to take it. Viachol linadot aldino. He's quoting the Raivin here. What does this mean? What happens if I'm not Hulk Hogan? So, what can I do in order to what? To make sure that I'm going to get that which belongs to me. Or to prevent the loss. Eli Koach. Says the Raivin, that's why it's in this Gemara. So what do? You put him in Cherem. And now, Beis Din will uphold the Cherem. People will say, am I allowed to do business with him? Beis Din will say, you're not allowed to. So the Raivit says, the reason why we are discussing here is because it's a special halacha in the Talmud Chacham. Everybody else, what is their halacha? If you're Hulk Hogan, you can apply the halacha of it in Ishtin Linafshe. If unfortunately the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not make you Hulk Hogan, so under those circumstances, sorry, this halacha doesn't apply to you. Says the Raivid, if you're a Tzurba Merabbanan, who typically are not the most strongest people on the planet, what you can do is go ahead and what? Make a din. That's how the Raivid, incited by the Rush, applies what is the relationship to our Gemara. The Guin, in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, says, no, I have a different answer. A tsurba me rabbanan, says the Goan, is allowed to implement this case, this halach of Avin Ishtin Lenafshe, even if he's not 1,000% convinced that he's what? That he's right. He just happens to bump into this guy on the street. And he doesn't have a chance to go through every shach and taz in Chosh and Mishpat to see whether he's 100% right or not. So an ordinary individual who doesn't know the halacha of Shulchan Aruch and Shach and Taz and Ketzois and Nesivos can't implement the din. Unless it's absolutely 1,000% sure. However, a Talmud Chacham can handle, has a right to be ovid in ishdil and nafshei, even if he's not 100% convinced of all of the judicial standards that would have been applied, evidentiary standards, we have to use your word, evidentiary standards that would have been used, we don't have to take consideration. As long as he has a chush that I'm going to be right, that's the unique position for a Tzur Bar Merabbanan. But anybody else, you have to be 1,000% sure that this person is going, that I'm going to win this case. 1,000% sure. The difficulty with that is, again, it's a little difficult to understand why the Gemara has to talk about it here. Why is it? You know where that Gemara should be? You know where the Gaon's comment should be made? You know where Tzur Bar Merabbanan? In one of those Gemaras over there. In one of the Gemaras, in Bava Kamma, there are three sugyas which we read. There, where the sugya is talking about Ovid in Ishdil and Afshay, you would say, Hani Mili, all of us. But a Tzur Bar Merabbanan doesn't have to be so psikale 100% this. That's the difficult. The only one who says why it's an our Gemara, which makes sense, is the rush in the name of the Ravid. That you can add something for a person who is not Hulk Hogan, he can go ahead and put him into Chayrim and to force the din without going to Besdin to put you into Chayrim. Yeah.
What would happen if then the Talmud Chacham was shown to be wrong?
So,
liable?
Yeah. So, usually, so yes, unless you're a member of Besdin.
In which case, what's the difference?
What?
Yeah. In which case, how? What's the difference between him and a regular person? If a regular person
is wrong,
is wrong,
right?
Viable,
no, but a regular person can't even initiate it.
What happens if he does?
Well, he's wrong. He's going to be held accountable.
But if he's right,
no.
He's
right, but it, so what happens? Take the case of the loss with the mortar.
Yeah.
He's going to have to suffer the loss of the mortar. That's that. He's going to have to take his case to court. If he, even if it means absolute financial loss, that he's never going to recover that water again. A Talmud Chacham can prevent the loss of his well simply by saying, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I think I'm going to win this case. Alright, stop here, we'll continue. Next Avach.
If someone steals from you, you can't go back. You can go back and steal it back.